You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
Great. So we are joined with Nicole Wedding from Radio Adelaide. How's it going, Nicole?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Not so bad, thanks. So first up on our list, we have Australians. They are calling for a space program. Why is Australia in the right position to do this at the moment?
Yeah, so as you said, yeah, Australia is calling for a space program. Industry Minister Arthur Sinodinos announced that the federal government was looking to establish a space agency. And it looks like it's basically about the right time for us to follow suit. Most developed nations have one, including New Zealand. I read that you announced one last year. And the global space industry's revenue is growing. It's more than $422 billion annually, and the sector has been growing by about 10% each year since the late 90s. So we have already had quite a bit of involvement in national and international space activities, but by having a dedicated agency, we could basically have a more cohesive space program and provide a stronger platform for collaboration. So we could oversee the launch of satellites for communication and navigation. And of course, you know, a space agency's main role would be to help keep jobs here and $3 billion of spending in Australia rather than flying overseas. So it'll be interesting to see if we do get one. I know that in a geographical sense, like, we're in a good position for one. And an expert panel will lead the review and report by the end of March next year.
So is there sort of a consensus among the government that it is a good idea, or is there some sort of debate going on about it at the moment?
Yeah, there's a little bit of debate going on about it. I know that the opposition was saying that, you know, it's a bit late for the government to be saying this, and they're not really committing to action. They're just, you know, supporting this expert panel, looking into doing a review. So it's interesting, but it looks like the economics of it seems to make sense. Everything that I read said that it was a space agency would be good, undoubtedly, for the economy. So you'd think that the government would want to do it. So we'll see.
Yeah, cool. So moving on, South Australia is about to become home to the biggest lithium-ion battery in the world. Can you tell me a bit about why this is and what the history is behind this decision?
Yeah, sure. So last year, South Australia went through this really big blackout. It made national news, and yeah, the state's electricity just became a talking point for the nation. And so as a result of this, the CEO of Tesla, Elon Musk, made Australia an offer that his company would solve South Australia's energy issues within 100 days, or the entire job would be free. So since then, it seems the South Australian government has been sitting on this information for a while, but this week it was officially announced that Tesla will build the world's largest lithium-ion battery in South Australia. So this battery is 100 megawatts, and it'll store energy from a French company-owned wind farm, which is still under construction, but is set to become the largest generator of renewable energy in the state. So while the battery won't provide the state with any more power than it has, it will provide stability to the system and will be used as a backup power system if there's a shortfall. So if all goes to plan, Musk says it'll be up and running before summer, and it's a project going to be worth up to $50 million. So both Musk and the Australian government have a lot riding on this.
Great. And finally, new research has proven exposing the endangered bettong to the wild will increase its chances of survival. Where has this research come from?
Yeah, so another South Australian story. These bettongs are these tiny marsupials in South Australia's arid lands. And yeah, as you said, they're apparently adapting to life alongside their predators, which are feral foxes and cats. So it is a good news story. They're a threatened animal and only usually found on islands or inside fenced reserves. So the fact that they're adapting is, yeah, big news for environmentalists and researchers. Scientists working at the Arid Recovery Reserve near Roxby Downs observed more than 200 of these endangered burrowing bettongs outside the fenced-off reserve last month. And they were really surprised because, you know, there were all these feral cats there. And they'd actually been changing already. They changed physically by getting longer feet to presumably run away from the predators. And they'd become more aggressive. So numbers were actually increasing out there compared to inside the fenced area, which they were just shocked by. So there's a lot of renewed hope they might eventually be able to come off the endangered list.
Cool. Can you tell me a bit more about the Bettong? Because I only know that they're extremely cute, and that's all I've seen from the picture of them as a New Zealander that's never really heard much about them.
I mean, that's pretty much, that's all I know about them, really. They're really cute, and they're traditionally not an aggressive animal. They're kind of a very mellow animal. So hearing these changes is kind of interesting. I mean, I guess it's kind of looks similar to a bilby, I guess.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's all I know. They're cute. And they were very threatened. And I think maybe we were overcompensating and thinking they couldn't deal with the environment they were in.
Cool. Sweet. Well, thank you so much, Nicole, for coming on air today.
No
it was
worries.
Great to talk to you as usual. And I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, speak to you then.
Sweet.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.